You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Exodus 31:12-17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any works therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Okay, well, we've noticed the cardinals are back around our place anyway. Lots of them. Beautiful things. At their lovely top knots, and the males with their beautiful color on them. And the females, not quite as colorful, but still pretty plump. It looks like they're getting plenty of food somewhere. And it's nice to see them. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today, Lord, for the scriptures that are open to us to read and freely available. We pray for those around the world who are persecuted just for having a Bible. And we ask, Lord, your Spirit work amongst them and give them the grace to live as Christians in such an environment. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Well, we're on Genesis. And Genesis, man, the great things I've been discovering in Genesis, which I'm really enjoying my study. One of the things I've noticed about Genesis is that there's a wonderful structure in it, like you find in all the Bible, but in Genesis, especially around this word, yom for day. And we've been looking at this. How do you like my pretty graph here? This is all generated from my program, my R program. And this, what this is about is showing you where yom is used in the Bible. So it's of the percentage of the total Old Testament words. And so you find that, unsurprisingly, in Genesis. Yom occurs mostly as a percentage of the number of words in each of the books. It occurs mostly in Genesis. And if you look at the word day, as it has been translated, it occurs here in the first chapter. You notice in the first chapter, verse 5, it says, And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And as I've pointed out, the most natural way of reading the book of Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, well, then it was done, right? He created it. And then you find that there's this coming of the light, and the light called day, darkness he called night, evening and morning, first day. Genesis 1:8, and called the firmament heaven, and evening, the morning, were the second day. Now, it seems unimportant that he called the firmament heaven, but it's not. It turns out to be a very, very important little key here about the firmament. The firmament is called the heaven. And it says, and the evening, the morning, were that second day. So the second day, the firmament into which he places these various bodies, heavenly bodies, was created on the second day. And it says, and the evening, the morning, were the third day, verse 13 and verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. But wait a minute. Back here, you've got in verse 5, you've already got before the fourth day, you've got light and you've got darkness. You've got light and you've got darkness already there. And the only way you can really, in my opinion, can really explain this is by understanding that, yes, he had already created the heavens and the earth. And in the heavens, there were already heavenly bodies. There was already light there. Now, there was judgment that came on the earth. And because there was judgment coming on the earth, some sort of watery judgment, this impaired things so that light would not necessarily be shining onto the earth. And then what he does, he allows it. That is, God allows this light to come onto the earth. And that light he called day. And without that, night. And the fact that there was day and night seems to suggest there was already a motion of the earth. Or he's spinning. Okay, so you can read through here. And there's very important things that come up, which I think we need to consider. Now, I've shown you these verses before, which talk about the morning and the evening and talking about the crops, that there's a lot of time between these events, the morning and the evening. The structure of how yom is used, very important. The heavens, the earth, which are now day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, this beautiful structure you'll find Bullinger put into his companion Bible. It's very well placed. And now what I want you to do is to look at a passage with me. It comes from John 5. So let's open up our Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 5. Okay, John chapter 5 and a great verse, verse 16. We'll back up a little bit to get some context. This is verse 10, John 5:10. The Jews therefore said unto him, that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. So this is this remarkable incident where this healing occurred on the Sabbath day. Now remember, in the Bible, the first instance of Sabbath comes to the point of the seventh day where God ceased from his creative activity. There was a cessation of creative acts by God. That's the seventh day. And there is not given there the evening and the morning. The other days are bracketed. Evening and morning. Evening and morning. Evening and morning. And so the days are numbered. But when you come to the seventh day, no. It's not bracketed. So John 5 verse 11 says, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. So the Lord did this beautiful act of healing on the Sabbath day. And he just says, take up your bed and walk. You ever think about these verses when you go past a hospital, or you go past, maybe you're visiting in a hospital, and you go past perhaps a ward where there are people, they haven't got long to go. This is the facts of the matter. Wouldn't it be just absolutely fantastic if you had the gift of healing? You know, some people who misjudge our ministry here, they get to think that we don't like healing or something. I love healing. I would love to have the gift of healing. Wouldn't you? I mean, the times I would love to have used the gift of healing if I had it. I would be using it. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I'd be out there in the hospitals getting people out of those beds. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Now, isn't it, there's something very miraculous going on here, right? The Lord just conveys himself away. It happens fairly often in the Gospels that he seems to just move through their midst, man, and they can't stop him. They don't know what's going on. Something very mysterious happens, how he can move past them. Verse 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. So it's not like the healing was done only to some righteous person. Not at all. This would take place on all sorts of people. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Now look at this. Look at this verse. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Oh, God forbid he would actually heal someone on the Sabbath day. Verse 17. Look at this. So verse 16 and 17, they are really remarkable. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now just think about that. What is he saying here? What is the significance of what he's saying? You see, the Father rested on the seventh day. But the Father did not stop in his righteous works. Yes, he stopped his creative works of making things and refashioning things on those 6 days. But God the Father never stopped working on the seventh day. Do you see the point? See, he's saying here, this is what the Lord is saying. But Jesus answered, My Father worketh hitherto. He is working. And I also work on the Sabbath day. And he goes on, Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. There are a number of things that you've got to understand about this. You see, there is something here about the Sabbath which is very important to understand. That God, he rested on the seventh day from his creative and refashioning works that are retold. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Yes, he rested from those particular creative works, but he did not stop working in general. There were righteous works that the Father still was doing. In fact, the Old Testament records them. And so the Lord is appealing to this, that my Father is working on the Sabbath, righteous works, and I also work. You see, this is the point. And then, because he's pointing out to God to be his Father, here is a special relationship that the Jews picked up on. Because he said that, because he made the statement that God was his Father, therefore he's making himself equal with God. And they sought the more to kill him. Okay. So that is kind of an interesting thing, that there is the idea and continuation of the seventh day, which began right back in Genesis and continues. It's not bracketed off. Now we know from Revelation 20 and 21 that there's going to be new heavens and new earth. And that's going to conclude that seventh day. But the seventh day of rest from those creative acts concerning the movement of the stars, the formation of the earth out of the waters, and all those things. Yes, those have been has ceased. They have ceased, and God's creative works in that perspective have ceased, but they're going to start up again, Revelation 20:21, new heavens, new earth, and in between we have the Sabbath. The Sabbath. But God works in there, and Jesus is using that argument to justify why he also can work on the Sabbath day. Okay, well that's kind of interesting. Here's the next one. This is in Hebrews 4. Let's look at Hebrews 4. I'm concentrating on the nature of the word day, yom. And I'm trying to point out to you that if you look at the works and things done on day 6 by Adam. At last, when the woman was brought, Eve was brought to him. At last, after all this time, I have someone, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. After all this time. Okay, now, Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at this. Hebrews is... You know, people will argue about who the author, the human author is of Hebrews. But people who have read Hebrews and who are people who respect the scriptures, there's no one that argues about the canonical nature of Hebrews. Hebrews is definitely a part of the Word of God, regardless of whether you know in yourself who wrote it. I believe Paul did. But I want you to have a look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, even of you should, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now in context, that's his creative and reformative works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And it goes on through this, showing you the rest that he's talking about. A rest is coming. But God did rest on the seventh day. And that day extends through time. Okay, well that's kind of, again, interesting. Now the next thing I want to show you. What's the conclusion, by the way, before we move on? The conclusion is that the seventh day is not 24 hours. Whatever you say of the day seven, it can't be 24 hours. And since the word day follows directly on from the 6 days, it's going to be pretty hard to push the same meaning of 24 hours backwards when the day seven is long. And day six looks like it's already long. So my conclusion is, we cannot say that the days of Genesis chapter 1 are 24 hours. It's quite conceivable that they're longer. Now the next thing I want you to see is this passage here, or passages. And this word is asa, which means to make. Now, if you look at many of the passages in Genesis, for example, Genesis 1:7, and God made the firmament, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. In Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So you've got this work of God on something existing. So here's my point that I'm trying to, I said it last time, but I want to take it a little bit further. So what you have is this idea of ex nihilo, out of nothing. And then you've got this reformation. And generally, you've got ex nihilo is basically this idea of to create. And then over here, to create. Now, the words to create, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word is bara, and this to make is asa. It will be interesting to see how these words are used. Because what I'm trying to point out here is that, yes, there was an original creation. There was this original creation, and then there was some kind of event that happened in the heavens. We know some of the details from Job, that there was some sort of a rebellion that took place in the heavenly realm with the angelic beings. They are real beings. And that rebellion occurred long before Adam. Long before Adam was on the scene, there was a rebellion. The rebellion occurred here first. Remember, I pointed out that that Aleph is not on that Hashemayim, the heavens, not on there. And then what happened was that the rebellion came to the earth in some way. We don't know exactly how, but one thing we know is that the serpent appears in the garden. And it comes to the earth, and then the earth takes on some sort of judgment. And it was some sort of watery judgment. And then it says the earth was without form and void. Right? Without form and void. And this is the tohu vabohu, without form and void. And we know from Isaiah that he didn't create the world without form and void. It was not created so, it became so. Some sort of judgment took place. And then there was the Reformation. So this here is the ex nihilo. Here's the ex nihilo, out of nothing. But then as the judgment comes on the earth, there is a reformation. Right? There's a reformation. And things are made to be so. There's a firmament that was made, and that's the word rakah, flattened out, bashed out, made, and into that the stars were placed, heavenly bodies were placed. Okay. Now, here is all of the occurrences of the verb to create, bara, in Genesis 1, in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the first case. And then the second case, 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So here is the bara also used there. Now, there is an instance where God uses the verb bara and asa in the same sentence. And here it is. Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Now notice it says created and made. When it comes to this creation of man, it's using the bara, and when it's talking about the likeness, it's using the asa. The asa seems to mean that what's going on is the creative act is now molded into something else. He creates something out of the dirt and then he molds it into something else. And this is the likeness of God. I mean, it's dirt is not going to be the likeness of God. But from the dirt, he makes this man, he creates this man, and then he breathes into his nostrils a breath of life, and then this man becomes a living soul. Right? Becomes a living soul. He then made it so. He fashioned it. He created it out of dust. And then he does something else after that. A reformation happens. It seems like the same idea as what we're seeing here with the earth. Right? There's the original creation. And then there's a further movement with that original creation. And it's interesting also here with the man, this shows you that I did go to art school. And so, you know, God breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. And, okay, so there's man. It's just the dust reformed. And then he then gets the breath of life. And then that combination becomes the living soul. Right? That goes very, very well with my understanding now of the nature of man. It's exactly so. Because if the breath gets separated from the dust, then we no longer have soul. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And at death, what happens to us? The breath, the life goes out of us, and the soul is gone. The soul is this organized dust with the breath in us. Okay, cool. Now, coming across here, let's go one little step further. So I did a little search here, and I noticed that for a percentage of words in each book, Exodus has a big proportion. So this is the first bar here. As a percentage of the book, this verb, asar, is highly used in Exodus. Let's go to Exodus. Since it's pointing us there, let's go there. Look at this. Exodus 37:17 as another example of this. I want you to see this. And he made the candlestick of pure gold of beaten work, made he the candlestick. This is the asar. He made it. So what you have is you have the gold, and then it's been refashioned and made. There are certain artisans that were chosen to do this. And they made out of this gold. And by the way, the gold would have to be mined and found and also purified in many cases, cooked up and the slag taken off. And he made the candlestick of pure gold of beaten work, made he the candlestick, his shaft and his branch, his bowls, his knops and his flowers were of the same. And you can see this asa being used again here. Refashioning. So here again, I'm just showing you a little comparison between this asa. I put a little pointer in where Genesis is. And then bara is used over here. Okay. And that's in Isaiah is where that's found a lot. And I'm going to show you now the key verse used by the young earth creationists. This is the verse where you live if you want to promote the young earth creation view. This is it. But I want you to see one point, one very simple point about this. It says this, Exodus 31:17. It is a sign. We've read the context about this. It all has to do with the Sabbath day, which we began with. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Who's it with? The children of Israel. So what do we have? We'll have all kinds of organizations trying to take the seventh day and slamming it right down the throats of the Gentile peoples. But here we've got it stated quite plain that it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord, look at the words the King James decided to use, because the King James is a translation, right? So it's going to use English. And the English they chose, look, for in 6 days, the Lord made heaven. Wait a minute. What did we find about the firmament? It's called heaven, and it's reformed, isn't it? It's fashioned. And earth. Well, what about the earth? Well, it was already there, and it was brought out of the waters. It separated the waters, and the earth came forward. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. So the one point I would like to show to the young earth people is this verb. It is not the verb bara. It is the verb asa, which is used over and over again for a reformation. So let's now put that in there. For in 6 days the Lord refashioned the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day of this refashioning, he rested and was refreshed. If you read it the other way, you would say, all right, in 6 days the Lord created out of nothing the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And that's how you'd want to put in there the short ages and the short time frame. But if you read it looking at these pointers, you get a different picture of what's going on here. So the day, age, and the 24 hours thing rages on. Now, I want to go a little bit further than this next time, because I want to look at soon what this means. What does it all mean? And what does it mean in terms of when Adam sinned? Here's a question to make you think in the between now and the next time we meet. In Romans 8, it talks about how death came in. But it wasn't just any death. It was, quote, death by sin. Death by sin entered into the world of man. Let me ask you this. Could Adam, before he sinned, could he have died? Could he have died before he sinned? Is it possible that Adam could walk along and just trip on a rock and smash his head on another rock and die? And if that did happen, would that contradict the idea that sin or death came in by sin? You see, the death is something very particular to the sin. Here's another feature I want you to think about. Did sin come into the universe by Adam's sin? Or was there some kind of sin that occurred before Adam within the heavenly realm? These are questions we need to talk about. Was the effect of Adam's sin on every creature? For example, before Adam's sin, did the bugs die? When Adam walked in the Garden of Eden, before he sinned, no doubt he had club feet like mine, and walked on a few bugs. Crunch, crunch. And what about all the herbs? These animals that were created, what would they eat? Well, they're herbivores, yeah, okay. So they ate something, didn't they? What happened to the things they ate? Questions about what is the effect of the sin of Adam on the creation. We want to look at some of these issues coming up, and I think they're going to be quite interesting. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, for the message of grace and life, and the fact that we can also enter into rest through the finished work of Christ, our Savior. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.